知らないよ。
Welcome to episode 53, everybody, of Comic Book Queer's Legacy. Hi, I'm your host, I'm Brett, and this is my co-host, Evil Jeff.
Hello.
Hello. So you just asked me what I thought of the Emmys overall. I thought they were pretty boring. I thought boring things won. I've seen a little of Barry, and is that really a comedic... It's not really a comedic role for Bill Hader. It's pretty sick and sad.
I'm sick of the world where there's now a thing. If something is a half hour, it's automatically billed as a comedy. And anything that has a sense of humor to it, even if people are dying and crying and doing everything serious, they'll just call it a comedy because they feel it's easier to win.
At its core, if it's tragic, like Orange is the New Black, but...
Yeah, and I feel that people are like, oh, well, these people doing sitcoms, this person's, like, crying. They're the better actor. We're going to give it to them. And I'm like, comedy is harder.
It's harder. It's harder to make people laugh.
Yeah, it's like, why do you think so many comedians excel when they go into a dramatic role? And so many famous actors bomb on Saturday Night Live. Comedy... It's hard. Dying is easy. Comedy is hard. I totally agree.
That's absolutely right. It's absolutely
right. But I will say I was happy that the Fonz won his first nighttime Emmy. Is it an evening Emmy? What, a real Emmy?
A nighttime Emmy.
Well, he won a daytime. Nocturnal Emmy. He's won a daytime Emmy for like...
A nocturnal Emmy.
A nocturnal Emmy.
A nocturnal Emmy-tion. yeah, I didn't know that he didn't win as the Fonz. I was like, of course he won.
And no, but he read some of his speech that he wrote when he was nominated as the Fonz.
Yeah, he said, I wrote this 33 years ago.
Yeah,
how long?
Great. 43
years ago? How long was that? 43. Oh, life. And life. These actors.
And I will say, the rumors that I have heard, I would say when I moved to L.A., over the years, there were two rumors I had heard of who was the nicest person in L.A. and who was the meanest person in L.A.
Really?
Time and time again, over and over and over, everyone said Kevin Spacey was the nasty. I've heard just separate people being like giving different stories, recanting how Kevin Spacey was so horrible and mean to them, to other people on set, blah, blah, blah. And then the same thing, story after story after story. That Henry Winkler is the nicest person
Henry Winkler.
Anyone has ever met.
That's the two. Henry Winkler is like, he's still the most relevant nice person in Hollywood.
No, it's weird when I've had people been like, who is the nicest person? They're like, you know what? I did something with Henry Winkler.
You know what?
He was the nicest person. I'm like, what?
Yeah. The Fonz.
Yeah. Go the
He used to tell people to sit on it,
mm-hmm.
And they're calling him the friendliest person in TV.
He coined the phrase "jump the shark"
because he jumped a shark, and it was stupid on water skis.
Yes,
in a scene.
But I will
Everyone
say
knows that
I was very happy that Miss Maisel won a bunch of stuff because I like that.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good.
See it. She
like
won all
it.
The Golden Globes too, and
yeah.
I was like, oh my god, I have to see it.
It's really
and I never
good.
Did.
And then Lois from
Alex
Family
Borstein.
Guy now
yes,
won an
yes.
Emmy.
And she won for Lois too. She also won a Creative Emmy for Best Voiceover Performance for Lois
oh,
Griffin.
Oh wow!
How about that?
I didn't even realize that. But did
uh-huh.
she win for her? Is she part Asian?
Did she say something like that?
It sounded like she said something about her being part Asian, which then makes me less offensive her Kwan Mad
her
TV.
Kwan. Yeah.
What
yeah.
was that like? You look like a
right?
man.
Oh, thank God. Because I think Kwan is hilarious.
Yes,
I mean,
if she is
time.
Asian,
it is
much...
I have a problem
then
with
maybe
it.
We don't have a problem with it anymore.
It's not... Yeah, right? Can we like it again?
I know. I love it. Should
oh,
be,
it's just so. Mean.
Yeah, it's just sad where you're just like, before you watch the sketch, please note that all races are being played by people who are that race.
Somewhat of that race. They have some claim.
But some other big things have been happening this week.
Like what?
They finally released the trailer to Captain Marvel!
Captain Marvel. Carol Danvers. I was watching, I was like. That's Carol Danvers. I used to know her as Binary. Oh, I remember when she was calling herself Binary before any of you knew her.
Yeah, when she was fucking punching Rogue to the moon and telling Professor Xavier to fuck off. That's when I first met her.
Remember that weird Savage Land issue of Uncanny where the Magneto Rogue relationship, I think, either like came to a head or started.
Oh, it's where Rogue goes through the siege perilous. And then her and Carol personality that she absorbed separated, but because they were half beings,
only one life force.
Only one life force could be chosen, and in the end, Magneto killed Miss Marvel, and she was and chose Rogue. And then the love story began. And that's when Magneto chose to be evil again for the... And then he became good again. And now he is back to being evil.
Yes. Back to the Carol Danvers trailer.
Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel!
You're reading the life of Carol Danvers. Is her cat in it? Her cat?
I don't know. I actually, because I'm reading it, you give me 1 minute to read it.
Did you notice a cat? Did a cat flash in front of you?
I don't remember. Possibly. All right. I tried reading the latest issue, and it was just so boring, and I didn't care.
Oh, what a shame. Hopefully, the movie's not. There is an Easter egg in the Captain Marvel poster of her cat. It's like her cat's butt and tail walking out of the shot.
How is that an Easter egg?
Because she has like a bitchy cat. Carol. Oh,
that's in part of the plot?
Her cat is like a character in her book. Like her ne'er-do-well cat.
Has this cat
Nerf,
been around?
I want to say.
How long has this cat been around for?
I think for a bit. Like enough to throw a little Easter egg into the poster.
But
like,
I mean.
It's not like the cat was
since
came up.
The 90s? Since the 80s?
I don't know.
That's not enough of an Easter egg for me. I think the biggest fun thing is that Spectrum's Monica Rambeau's mom is in the movie.
Sure, it's her mom in the comics. Hello, Hope Van Dyne. We were like, it's not Janet Van Dyne. She's not going to be the Wasp. And then she was totally the Wasp.
Yeah.
I know it's Maria Rambeau. That don't mean she ain't going to get no light powers.
No, but this is the 90s. So the next... movie is 20 years later, so it's going to be the daughter.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What a good point.
Yeah, that's why it's the mom, because the 90s is now. The next movie is going to go back to the present. Or is it? Like, I have a question. Is the Marvel is the Marvel Universe going to completely reset after this?
No. What do you mean?
Like, after this next Avengers movie, how are the X-Men going to be brought in? Are we not doing any more Avengers movies? Are we getting all new cast to do things? Are we starting over? Like, what is happening then with
It's so exciting.
What's going to happen?
I think maybe it is going to reset. We know that time travel is imminent. We know it's coming. We know it's going to be part of the solution.
But when that ends... there's still another Spider-Man movie. There's some other movies. It's like, is it all still going to have Robert Downey Jr.? And that's why I'm confused of how they're going to restart the new... because they're saying, oh, everything ends after this. This is the first kind of like Marvel saga of movies.
Do you think it's possible they keep Robert Downey Jr. in the following way? They only have him record his like in the helmet scenes. But he's like, he's home... remote controlling his suits. So he's just always at home on a screen. They never like actually shoot him in a real scene.
I don't know. I just don't know what they're going to do. I don't know, but I can't wait.
They could kill Captain America. They really could. Here's what I think is going to happen with Cap. I think Cap is going to die. And I think the very last scene you're going to see is him walking into that World War II USO ballroom. It'll be empty. And you'll see Peggy Carter, and she'll go, "You're late."
Oh.
That whole, "I owe you a dance, Peggy." His whole flash in Ultron.
Is that his heaven?
That's his heaven.
Oh. But back to Captain Marvel. What did you think?
Sure. All right. I thought it was awesome. The Blockbuster Video opening shot is hilarious. Like, it's such a tension breaker.
Yeah.
So it already showed me that formulaically they're going to know what they're doing. What also showed me that is, you know me, I love Marvel movies that lean into a different genre. This one is admittedly, explicitly leaning into the 1990s action film genre.
Oh, okay. So
there's so many different things. It's like, oh man, they rattle them off. They list one by one all the 90s action movie tropes. Even like it ends with somebody saying essentially like, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. I will say though, it didn't reveal a lot because I was very confused as to what the movie is about. I think I saw a scroll and it looks like there's a part where she goes to punch an old lady. So I'm assuming there's shape shifting. So I'm assuming that it's scroll related.
Yes. That's math. That's good math.
But she falls from space. Is she an alien?
She's definitely from Earth because she says, I feel like I've had a life here, but she can't remember. And they show her hooked up to that machine that's got energy going into her temples. So I'm thinking she's a pilot. She gets mixed up with the Kree somehow. They do some shit to her mind.
And she's been gone. She's a Kree soldier.
And then she crashes back on Earth and is like, this looks familiar.
Got it.
That's what I'm thinking. But I'm thinking she becomes Captain Marvel on Earth. Like, she gets her promotion on Earth.
And then I was reading somewhere else where someone said that there's some of the people there are future bad guys that she's like battling with.
Who?
Now I need to look it up.
Minerva?
No, it's two guys.
Is it the sister from, oh, not the Crazy Rich Asians sister?
No, it's two guys that are in later Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ronan? Yeah, Ronan. Lee Pace's Ronan is in it.
Yeah, but
the villain from the first Guardians.
But that's what I'm saying. It looks like they're in it, but they're on her side, like battling.
Yeah, they're all Kree, right?
Yeah. So that's okay. So you know what I'm talking about. That seems interesting.
Yes. Do you think they'll have? Do you know the Supreme Intelligence? That big green floating head, like giant green floating head.
Yeah.
In the tube.
I don't know.
Do you think they'll have that?
I have no idea.
If they're going to do, oh my God, wait, hold on. This is about Kree's. This is about the Kree and Skrulls. I'm just putting this together now. My excitement level just exponentially increased because I think we're getting stuff that's going to be very close to Kree-Skrull war kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Holy goddamn.
Well, she's a Kree and
there are Skrulls.
So that would make sense.
And there's shifting. That old lady was a Skrull, which I loved.
I love it when people punch old ladies.
Me too. I really do, actually.
I love it.
And kids.
I love the sound of children falling down the stairs.
Who is that from?
No, it's me.
Oh, girl. Okay.
One of my Golden Shower Girls videos.
Oh. She's quoting herself.
Yes.
Captain Marvel, Kree Skrull, what fun. I'm obviously stalling to try to remember what I was going to say. You got anything?
The Marvelous Mrs. Marvel.
The Marvelous Mrs. Marvel. That's not what we're going to be calling Captain Marvel.
Captain Maisel. They should just combine these things together. I think it looks fun, and I can't wait. And it comes out when?
It comes out International Women's Day, which I believe is March, I want to say 8th.
And then when does the X-Men Dark Phoenix movie come out?
Never.
Isn't it coming out in February?
I think never. Never. It's supposed to be November. November.
Of 2019?
Wait, if you rearrange the letters of November, it says never. Never.
No, seriously, though. November
20
this year?
20 never.
No, will you stop it? Is it supposed to come out November of this year or November of next year?
I think... No, I'm sorry. Dark Phoenix is supposed to come out February Valentine's Day 2019.
Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, so that comes out...
New Mutants was moved to November.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's that one I can't wait for.
What the hell is... Is that even coming out? Never. More like the Never Mutants.
No, it will. But I think they're just rewriting it. And there's and now X-Force is coming back. The comic.
I know. And I knew that was going to happen as soon as they had that panel in Extermination. I was like, and here it comes. And it
is all of those here guys. It but it doesn't have Richter. I'm like, why would you not have Richter?
Yeah, why not?
You already have fucking Shatterstar and they're fucking. This is homophobia. Oh,
Richter will be in it. Maybe Richter dies in the Shatterstar solo series that's coming out.
No, before that. No, don't kill Richter.
They might.
Ugh, that'll piss me off.
Ooh.
All right. Well.
That'll give, oh God, they better not refrigerate Richter. They better not fridge Richter.
Stop killing gay people.
Stop killing us.
Oh my God. I know. Remember, I haven't heard it from a while, but there was this thing going on where it was like, the gay community was complaining that all lesbian TV characters were being killed.
Yeah, it was from that show, The 100.
But no, it wasn't just that. But it was like there's references of like all like even all the way back from Willow's girlfriend, where it was like if someone is gay, they're going to be killed.
And then Star Trek did it, right? Do you watch that? The new Star Trek on CBS with Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz? Oh, they
killed. Didn't Anthony Rapp
I think they killed.
No, Wilson Cruz.
Wilson Cruz.
They were like, oh, we'll keep the white gay guy. The Latin gay guy. Right? That's too much for us.
He might have been brought back, though.
Oh, as a Borg?
A Borg? I don't know. Do they still have to do the Borg?
Can Bottoms be Borgs? Or who's the top in that relationship? Anthony Rapp or Wilson Cruz?
I mean, I'm going to have to think Wilson Cruz.
Is the bottom?
Is the top.
You think Wilson Cruz is the top?
Yeah, I think I don't want to go with the predictable Wilson Cruz is the bottom. I think he's the top. I mean, he could be a rugged man in some roles.
So, yeah, like in Rent when he was Angel.
Oh, dear.
Rent. But speaking of depressed gays.
Yes, last week, me?
Yeah, sure. Me too. Last week, I decided that today was going to be about letters.
Yes.
And so we asked both of our fans, apparently, to like write us stuff.
They're so nice.
Yeah. Or not. Because you know how many letters we received last week?
How many?
None.
What?
So I had to start scrolling.
What are we doing?
I had to start scrolling back to find stuff. And so first of all, I'd like to clearly talk about, here, I'm looking it up now. I also have a problem with some of the reviews. I'm going to talk about some of the reviews that we're receiving.
We have 5 stars.
Yeah, but no, it's not that we're getting bad reviews. I want to read this one in particular.
Okay,
so this was from this past January.
Okay.
From Not Anal Maryland. Oh. Okay. A-N-L? That seems like anal. So Not Anal Maryland. Seems like you're very anti-gay, so I don't know why you're writing to us. But here. I generally think that nostalgia is often misplaced and overrated, but when I found out that my favorite boys from TOS had relaunched the podcast. From the original series had relaunched the podcast. I was ecstatic. I grew up on the X-Men and eventually branched out to other areas. But your love of the franchise and willingness to check other books out have given me laughs, nods of agreement, and many books and shows to try. Evil's inappropriate humor combined with Brett's encyclopedic X-Men knowledge and sexy voice.
Oh, can't flatterer. Forget
that.
Flatterer.
And just what I've needed on my work commute. Thanks for coming back, guys. Why am I inappropriate humor and you get to be sexy voice? What the fuck is that about? This shrill faggoty thing isn't sexy to you? Fine. I'm just going there, to talk like this from now on. No, that's awful. That's not sexy.
There are many, many, many people out there who find your voice sexy. It's just the one that wrote
it. It's called
The
Deaf. When I was little, I remember people would be like, you talk gay. And then I would try to talk butch and I would sound immediately a million times gayer. Because I'd be like, hey, what's going on? Why do you talk like a girl?
I don't talk like a girl.
It's like, that was way worse.
Oh my God. I used to answer the phone when I was a kid and people would say, hello, madam.
Now, here's another one. This is from Lifetime Uncorked. This was in June. As a gay man and maybe the only Jubilee fan, I can say this podcast is excellent. Brett and Jeff know what they are talking about and are hilarious / sexy. Now, notice it said Brett and Jeff, and then it said hilarious / sexy. So I'm going to take this one for me.
Because of the order, the slash sexy. Sure. Hey, good. We're even. Now we're even.
And then there's this other one, and this is the one that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
This one is from. It's just called The Real Emma.
The Real Emma. Ooh.
And it was written just 2 weeks ago.
Uh huh.
And it just says. Evil Jeff, if you read this, do not trust Brett. He cannot be trusted. I am the real Brett. Please call me at the digits you know to find me at. And then there's like this weird little...
What digits?
It's not... It's like a weird... It's like in a weird like other language. I don't know if it's Arabic or something, but it's like some kind of riddle I have to solve. Did you do this?
Are you fucking with me? No, I didn't do that. A riddle?
What is that? It almost seems like it's you from the future trying to warn me against you.
This is so weird right now. What else does it say?
It's literally just a bunch of like weird hieroglyphic marks. But I'm assuming that the real Emma, it knows that you love Emma Frost. And it also means that you're trying to deceive me somehow. And the real future you is trying to save me from
the
past you. No,
I think future you is trying to deceive you. If there isn't... Wait, hold on. Future... There is no future me. There's just me.
That's what the past Brett would want me to think.
I'm the present Brett.
There is no present.
Why? Because it takes your brain a certain amount of time to process information?
We're going to fucking stop. I made that last post up. Because did you have any idea what the fuck we were talking about when it comes to future and time travel? No. And I actually wrote this to complain about the latest X-Men book we are going to talk about, Multiple Man.
That's right, kids.
Because what I just did to Brett is exactly what fucking Multiple Man did to me.
And
I have no fucking idea what the fuck is going on.
What?
And Brett,
the
if you
hell?
Try to ever betray me, I will kill you. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Wait, that was a bit. What are you Jesus.
So did you read Multiple Man?
I did.
I read it twice and I still was like, I don't
Well, I think that's the point. Like, I don't think I don't think Matthew Rosenberg he has a linear plot some on the wall with like strings coming out of it. And like, I think all of this is just fuckery for the fuckery sake of time travel fuckery.
All right. So can we talk through it real quick for people that haven't read? For people that haven't read Multiple Man. Maybe just fast forward through this because it's not going to make any sense. Because for people who have read it, it will make sense. So in a brief, I'll try to do it as brief as possible. Multiple Man died of the Terrigen Mist. But way back in the past, there was another Multiple Man that was like hidden away somewhere. And so he survived. But because he's a dupe, he's slowly dying. So he gets Beast to make a serum to save him. But then the guy, a future version of Multiple Man, comes out and says, don't give him that serum, right?
Don't ask me, right? You read it twice.
So then the future man comes back and tries to kill the other Multiple Man. And then there's these other Multiple Mans. There's a Deadpool Multiple Man, a Hulk Multiple Man, a Doctor Strange Multiple Man, a Cable Multiple Man. Is that all of them? There's four or five.
Did you say Deadpool?
There's five. Deadpool, Hulk, Cable, Doctor Strange. Which one am I missing?
Yeah, which one are you missing? We'll think of it later. Keep going.
Anyway, they take that. Oh, but then when the two are fighting, the old, like, they, one of them merges the other one. So they merge together. And then those guys take them to the future. And there, it turns out that a Multiple Man in the future has killed all the X-Men and is now ruling the world with a bunch of other Multiple Men. Anyway.
As his army.
Yeah. And so there's six other Multiple Men who have decided to be in a rebellion, along with his son, with Layla Miller, who this Multiple Man doesn't remember because he was locked away before he even met Layla Miller. So he doesn't remember her. And so his son and her, they're part of this rebellion. He, and then there's a Headless Forge who's making time travel devices. He sends all of the Multiple Man into the future to try and figure out a way to save him. One of them gets killed, so five of them are still sent into the future. And then the son gets killed, and then that Multiple Man gets his head chopped off. And that was the end of last episode. Gets his head chopped off by the evil Multiple Man.
Mm-hmm. And that was how the second-to-last episode ended.
Issue. And so this issue decides to bring all of that together. So it turns out the evil Multiple Man who just chopped the head off finds the time travel device and travels back in time. And it turns out he is the one that's like, oh, I'm from the future.
But then he gets absorbed.
But then he gets absorbed because the other Multiple Man, I guess, is more prime than him.
Yeah, he's earlier.
So he gets absorbed. So everything is then just forgotten. Right? But then he still, but why don't you remember everything when you absorb? That's where I was confused. So that didn't make any sense to me. And then it shows you how all of the Multiple Men became.
Got their powers.
Okay, here's the one I was confused at. And this is where I'm still. So there's one that goes and meets with Red and Slim in Cable's world.
So that's the Cable one.
So he becomes the Cable one. There's one that goes to the 2099 X-Men, and he becomes the Deadpool one.
Yeah.
One goes to the Sorcerer Supreme, which at this point is Tony Stark.
And they bring out Tyrone Johnson's body and cloak.
Which he then wears his body, and he becomes the cloak Sorcerer Supreme. And then one guy drinks gamma water, and he becomes Hulk. And then here's
where... Are we missing one?
Yes, because then there's one where he goes, and it's like old X-Force.
Yeah, and it's an homage to the swimsuit issue. Boom Boom in that bikini, yes, and them in those trunks.
Yes. So he goes to a bar to find the Avengers, but who is he?
I don't know. I'm looking through old issues now. I only see the four characters we mentioned.
That's what I mean. So where is that other one? Or was it originally five and then one got killed? But then who was that person in the
swimsuit? I thought it was six, because one got killed, but I thought it was six.
Yeah, right? So where is that other one?
Are we having a Berenstain Bears moment? Is this the Mandela effect? Happening right now?
No, but they don't show the guy who's in the swimsuit world. They don't show who he becomes. Right?
Yeah, where's the splash page where they all show up at their first appearance?
It's the beginning of the second episode.
Deadpool.
Second issue.
Cable. Doctor Strange cloak. Hulk.
The Cable one.
No, there's four. Here's the group shot. There's four.
So there is only four of them.
Yeah. But I swear to God, there was five.
No, Mandela but there is effect. because they show the one guy going into the swimsuit area, but then they don't show what happens to him.
Huh. So that's a character yet to... Oh God. Did time travel change the comic book retroactively? I think it did.
I don't know. But then it looks like at the end, Kitty gets shot. Luckily, she phases through it. And then the next prime guy who was left of that world has come back to the present. I'm so utterly confused.
Did it just reset? But that's the point. This is supposed to be confusing.
I don't know.
His whole pitch.
But then did any of them take the serum? How are they all still alive? I don't think any of them took the serum.
I can't even handle. I don't even know what the serum is anymore. Oh, I got to read it so many times, but it's like time travel, and I guess that's the point. Matthew Rosenberg walked into an office and was like, let's put multiple man through a time travel adventure. And everyone was like, I see what you're doing here. What a romp. What a romp.
They didn't because it makes zero sense. Let's talk about stuff we did like.
I'm loving
West Coast Avengers.
Love it. Love Brodok actually being
MODOK. And then just turning evil in the end.
Yeah, weird. And who are those other giants? And how did they get giant?
Yeah, I guess we must wait.
I love Kate Bishop.
I love, and I will say the Kid Omega just is
Quentin.
He's so great with all of them. It's kind of like a great combo of people with like lesbian America. Chavez is just like, she's kind of the like, fuck all you guys. Everyone's kind of
she
like,
always has their, is,
but everyone kind of has their own fuck you guys thing.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of, cause then Gwenpool is like, whatever, I'm just doing my own thing.
Yeah. But Gwenpool is the ultimate fuck you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's happy about it.
She literally has a God complex.
Yeah.
You know what her whole thing is, right?
What's her thing?
That she's from our world, and she read comic books, and she got sucked into the Marvel Universe, and she knows everything about them.
Right.
So that's like the ultimate fuck you. She's like, you're all comic book characters. This isn't real.
But they're all fuck you characters except the boyfriend, which makes me feel the boyfriend's got to die. Doesn't it feel like he's going to die?
Yeah. How do they describe him at the end?
He's going to be, what is it? He's going to get refrigerated, isn't that the...
Fridged.
He's going to get fridged.
No, I said refrigerated earlier. I don't think that's right. He isn't going to... No, I think he's too adorable of a character. I don't think he'll... I think they want to keep him around.
We'll see.
The, like, baby puppy, invulnerable guy?
Yeah.
That's a good mix.
Yeah, I'm really liking it. The writing is just spot on great.
It's great.
It's great.
The talking to the camera thing is still a little...
But the fact that they're making an actual documentary and it's not like...
It's not like Modern Family,
which there's no reason why you're having an interview. Like, I like
No, that. It's like The Office where they made this documentary that lasted for 10 years.
Yeah. And then I will say, next I'm going to do my favorite comic of the week.
What?
Let's see if you can guess what it was.
Oh my God. Was it Mr. and Mrs. X?
Yes.
Yes.
I love this. The art is great.
Gorgeous.
Because the art looks like the guy who did Young Avengers. What's his name? Alan Chung? Is that his name?
Jim.
Jim Chung? It...
Yeah, it's Alan. Like, you keep mixing up the writer and the artist. It's Alan Heinberg and Jim Chung.
Okay.
The same and person. Actually...
Well, this is... No, that's what... In Gamora's universe, that's his name.
Oh. And we'll talk about that too, I hope.
But Mr. and Mrs. X is so good. I love it.
It's so fun.
And usually I hate bringing new characters, but this new child of Lalandra and Professor X, love her. Love
Zandra. What a perfect Zandra. Name.
Love it. And the fact that it's all of the Shi'ar people and Cerise from Excalibur.
And she's being shady, right? Like she's working for the Imperial Guard.
But or is it the or was it Oracle? Was or is Oracle shady to the Imperial Guard?
Okay.
I couldn't tell if like she if Oracle was like, no, you Cerise, get going. Don't let what's the main guy with the mohawk?
Well, they're calling him it's Gladiator, but now he's Gladiator. The Majestor.
Whatever happened to Kid Gladiator?
Right? So fun. Whatever happened to Warhawk?
Yeah. Guess they're gone.
Bye. They're with Lifeguard and Slipstream.
No, one day they'll be like, hey, there's like a, just a floating vessel over there. Oh, it looks like a vessel that just ran out of oxygen. Oh, it's Kid Omega.
Oh, it's Kid Omega and Lifeguard and Slipstream and...
and Stacey X.
No, she would not. She wouldn't even be allowed on that ship.
But I and all, it's just the whole Deadpool. I'm sad that they kind so of got fun. Rid of Deadpool because yeah.
No, but it was fun. Yeah, it was a fun scene.
And there was a great like panning page of just Deadpool and Gambit battling everyone. Oh
God, so good! That was masterful. Those strip panels are masterful. It's classic so Marvel hallway scene. Oh, so good.
And I love their relationship, too.
Yeah, I love Rogue and Gambit.
Because Kelly they're fighting, Thompson but still gets in love. Them.
It's like, the writer that did the limited right series.
Balance. Yeah, yeah, it's
she
great.
Gets it.
It's great.
So good.
And then what else did you like?
I liked that X-Men Gold has finally ended.
That was garbage, though.
No, I thought it was good. I liked it. It was just, it felt like just, let's just do a classic X-Men story.
But then there's no ending to it. You don't know if that person died or not.
I know, I like that.
So
because that's what, that's the way it's always going to be. It was a very Sopranos ending, I thought.
Does Uncanny, I guess, it's fine, but whatever. I'm just over it. But then it's X-Men Black comes. When's Uncanny start? Next month?
Sure, maybe. Yeah, yes. Black is in October. Every week.
So that means next
Emma week, comes
so
out on Halloween.
So yeah, okay, great.
Emma comes out on Halloween, and so does the What If Magic one-shot.
Oh, yeah. I will say another big one came, which I did not like. The Return... of Wolverine.
Yeah, it's here's my thing. It's a mystery. The whole the hunt for Wolverine, death like not death, but the hunt for Wolverine, it's all mystery. It's like so steeped in mystery that you read an issue like this, you're like, well, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
Issue one.
But here's the other thing. The thing that I loved about Wolverine is they finally, and I know they're probably trying to bring it back to this, but in House of M, he finally remembered everything. And right. Now he's back to not knowing anything. And that's boring to me.
That's boring.
And there's one part of him that's not healing. And I still don't know, like, but how... Like, how did he actually get saved out of that statue?
Was it explained yet? Yeah, I feel like it was. I feel it? Like we
I
went
know,
over
I
that.
I feel like I missed it.
Like, it... I remember him being cut out of it, and I forget why.
But was it the Reavers that did it? But then did he like just run out? Or
did they find that he wasn't there?
I felt like they just found read it again. That it was opened. I don't think they ever showed when it actually happened.
Oh, wait. Kitty phased him out. Kitty phased him out, and they buried him.
Oh, she phased him out, and they buried him, and then he dug out of the grave and escaped.
Yeah.
Right.
Or he was taken.
Okay. That we don't know. That I want to know what happened. I want to see that.
Yeah.
But that being said, it just wasn't that interesting. I feel like the last hunt for Wolverine set up with the Persephone character, it led up to this point, but now it feels like we're just starting back at like point one with him not knowing anything, which I'm like, don't have like 10 books of setup, and then now we're starting back to like not knowing anything.
Well, the books didn't really land. They all got one clue. Like, the Claws of the Killer was like, I don't know, something to do with zombies, and we heard her name, Sotera. And then Claws of a Killer. I mean, Weapon Lost. Well, we know that he's been brainwashed and he's been killing people. We got a name. Soterra.
Soterra. Lost in emotion.
Whoever they are, they took Wolverine's body.
Oh, we're doing two different versions of that song.
At first, I was doing Lost in Emotion.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing.
Okay, yeah.
But then you're doing I veered
into Heather's territory, as I'm known to do.
Yeah. But also, I hate that all this is going on when then it's like, when did he fucking remember everything, not have to worry about Soterra, and get a fucking Infinity Gem?
I was hoping this was about the Infinity Gem and not some made-up corporation. Sorry, not sorry.
I know. Made-up corporations are the boring bad guys.
It's so boring. Like, yawn. Like,
although, I did just watch, for the first time, Ready Player One last night.
Oh, really? I've yet to see that.
It's really good. But
the bad guy is
like a big corporation. But it makes sense that it would be. I mean, in the end, the lessons they learned are very cliched. But it's Steven Spielberg, so what else do you expect?
Bad guys are always Nazis, bullies, corporations.
Or CEOs.
Or clergy.
Terrorists. But now the new bad guy is just like a privileged
one. Yeah, they're the worst.
They are.
Really bad.
So Wolverine, stupid.
Stupid pooped.
Is there anything else that you read in Marvel?
I read nothing else. But I did. Ugh. Ew. I did read a DC book.
Ew. I read a DC book too.
Ugh.
And I read all of the past issues and caught up with the DC book that I read.
Are we going to talk about the same one?
Are we going to talk about Mr. Miracle?
Yes, we are, girl.
I read back and because I didn't read the last like four issues, and I saw on CBR, it was like, Mr. Miracle finally reveals a clue of what the fuck is going on. I'm like, all right, I got to go back and read everything.
All right, here we go.
So I read everything, so I'm caught up with Mr. Miracle, and then I got to the end, and I literally had to go to a website that explained.
Oh, I did not do that. I'd be interested to know what the website said. Here's my take. Because
I was like, I don't get it. Okay, all right, we'll see. So, Brett, real quickly, fill in for our listeners, both of them. What has been going on with Mr. Miracle?
Okay, so both of you.
Because the first episode opened up, it opened up with him committing suicide. Escaping death is his biggest escape.
Yeah. He has... through the deaths of various other characters, he has ascended to be the All-Father. Before, at the beginning of the series, it was All-Father. And then after that, it was Darkseid's son, Orion. Both of those two died. Scot-free, Mr. Miracle ascends to the throne of the good guy side. He is embroiled in a war, first as a soldier or a captain, and then as a general. In a war against Darkseid, many people are dying, blood everywhere. It's a nightmare scenario. Also, he's married to Big Barda. He's sustaining a marriage and then raising a baby. So you've had these two different stories kind of told at the same time, kind of bleeding into one another. A lot of the times it's a parenting story with a bloody war going on in the background. A lot of times it's a war story with nagging parenting going on in the background. But all the time, there was always the feeling of being trapped, of being played with. There was always a narrator who was hyping up everything going on, talking to you, the audience, as if it were a game show.
And there's always panels that suddenly blur as if like the TV static goes in,
and
then there's always panels that say Darkseid is.
So the natural inclination, and I've said it multiple times on this show, is to think that Scot-Free is in some sort of an illusion, trapped in some sort of weird world that's preying upon his fears, that's creating odd scenarios for him to be trapped in psychologically and emotionally. But, and you would assume that Darkseid is doing that. I think only half of those statements are true.
Well, that being said, the big plot twist in the last issue, the one before the one we're going to talk about, is that they're at these meetings trying to negotiate peace, and Darkseid actually says, I will give you everything you want. I will call off this entire war. I will even surrender the life equation. Is that what it's called?
Anti-life.
The anti-life equation to you. All you have to do is give me my grandson, your son, for me to raise. And the next, this issue is Barda and him, well, or the Barda and him were arguing about whether or not they should do it. And then they finally decide, we're going to say we're going to do it, and then we're just going to fucking kill Darkseid when we get there.
Yeah.
And this is some good fucking storytelling.
This is some crazy shit.
They show up with the classic, and this is like an ongoing theme, of a vegetable plate with ranch dip. They show up with the dip and the stroller with the baby, and they're getting checked for weapons. They have no weapons. They just have the stroller and the vegetable dip. And then they walk into Darkseid. Darkseid fucking rips his eye out so that he is incapable of fulfilling the anti-life equation.
Of using the Omega beams.
Of using it. Yeah. Of using the Omega beams. So he does that, and then they just have to hand the baby over. The one guy who's there in the robe, like he's like a robed, cloaked figure.
Oh no, Desaad.
Is like, he's lying, he's going to kill us, he's like lying. But then he's like, no. And then he's, so at the very end, he's like, let me just say goodbye to the baby. And then they lift up the stroller. And what is it?
It's a boom tube gun kind of thing.
And they just start shooting it at Darkseid.
Aiming it, like pulverizing him with this beam.
Yeah.
But he gets up, knocks out Barda, and then beats the crap out of her and Scott, and goes to take the baby. But then Barda says, okay, do it now. Scott reaches for what? The vegetable tray. And pulls out a knife made out of Orion, the man who was prophesied to be the one to kill Darkseid. But what a weird twist on that prophecy. Not you, actually, but the knife version of you.
Yeah. Stabs him in the eye and kills Darkseid.
The whole time going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Kills Darkseid. Barda freaks out on Scott for cursing so much in front of the baby.
And then even before that, when Darkseid's coming, there's this thing of the baby crying and him like bloodied crawling to the baby, and then you slowly see a panel after panel the shadows of Darkseid
that
coming.
Was some it's good just so, comic booking.
It's just the art is
real
so
good comic booking.
And I will say, at every point, never has it not been a 9-panel.
Trapped.
It's trapped. It's always 9 panels every page. There's never a single page. There's never a double panel. Nothing. It's always 9 panels. And then the guy with the cloak pulls his hood down. And then who is it? I don't know who it was.
It's Metron.
Who the fuck is that?
Metron is one of the new gods. He's the guy that's always floating around in the chair.
Is Mr. Miracle a new god or an old god?
New. These are all the new gods.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Jack Kirby's new god. So Metron he's up there with Darkseid and Mr. Miracle and Orion and Big Barda, you know, as this like dramatis personae. And he reveals himself. He was big in Morrison's Final Crisis, I believe. Anyway, he reveals.
What are his powers?
I'm having trouble really being specific about them, but I know they're around time and omnipotence.
What's his name?
Metron. Metron's chair is like one of the most powerful artifacts in the DC universe. Like up there with Dr. Fate's helmet.
Okay.
Anyway, so I think the person casting the illusion that Scott is trapped in is Metron, not Darkseid. Like, they've had you believe the entire time. They've made it obvious that Scott is trapped in something. But because of the Darkseid is panels, and because you see Darkseid through the glitches in some panels, you think it's Darkseid. I don't think it is. I think it's Metron, and I think this is some sort of weird superhero training.
Now, that is one thing that it could be. I think it definitely is some sort of test. But the thing that I read is because then for the first time you see a full page spread.
Yes.
Where he goes, yes. there's another universe that you need to save or something like that. And then there's all these people that have already been killed in this comic there. Like Orion's there.
Yeah.
The High Father's there. They're all there.
Yep. All the more pointing to that this whole book has been an illusion the entire time.
Or is this Metron from a different Earth?
Here to bring a different Scott Free to our Earth?
Here to bring a different Scott Free to come save this Earth.
What has been Scott Free's history up until this book?
I don't know.
I don't either, but I'd like to.
But at least there's something going on. I'd be very interested to see what the next issue is going to be.
Shit.
But it's great. I mean, I give it like a
Oh, I give it a
Yeah, like
half an ew. I mean, it's still a DC book.
If you read this in X-Men Gold, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh, X-Men Gold wasn't that bad, but this is masterful.
Compared to Mr. Miracle.
This is a masterclass in comic booking.
Yes. Come on, Marvel.
Come on, Marvel. Infinity Warps ain't doing it. I mean, but they're pretty fun.
Okay, we do need to, just real quick, before we finish up.
Freak out about Diamond Patch?
We need to talk about Diamond Patch.
Because, Lord, you have given us such a gift. I can't.
But so is he? He better be fucking gay.
I mean, he better be fucking gay, right?
I'm not buying what you're selling, darling. I love that he's Wolverine with diamond bones.
Diamond bones. He's a diamond skeleton.
With psychic. Now, from the thing that I saw his powers, I think he can only
he be has to stab you,
stab someone before he can psychically.
He has to like have a
that
physical.
Is brilliant!
I love this. You need and to keep him around, Marvel.
A foppish dandy.
Marvel, do not deny us Diamond Patch. Do not dangle this carrot in front of me.
Do not do it. Great,
Lord, hear my prayer.
Love it.
Stay.
But to add to that. Ms. Marvel, the new one, the Muslim Ms. Marvel, and Kang. Kamala Kang. But he was he was Iron Lad. They have merged together.
But.
So it's Kamala Kang. And then the Power Pack has merged with the Punisher. So these little kids are all murderers.
We're talking about like the solicitation to Infinity Warps number 2.
Infinity Warps number 2. The Punisher Pack.
The Punisher Pack.
With Diamond Patch.
Thank you.
And Kamala Kang.
Can I have this?
What faggot wrote this? And can I suck your dick? Because I love it.
Girl, thank you. I don't know how comics have delivered as much as they have, but they have delivered. Lord, I can't wait for this issue.
I love it.
Punisher Pack?
I love murdering children.
These little... And
I mean,
not,
let me say
yes,
that again.
No,
not
like
me
an adjective,
murdering.
Not a verb.
I love children
not a
that
gerund.
Murder.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, children who are murderers. They're so fun. Look how fun they look with their skull on their Power Pack costume. Oh. We need Power Pack back. And Franklin Richards has to be on it as Tattletale.
Well, there is the other... The one is grown up now, too.
Not Julie.
She's been... That's weird. She's been de-aged. And the other brother, because he's in the Freedom Foundation, has been aged.
Holy shit. Can we have somehow a Katie Power that's now older than Julie?
Yeah.
How cool would that be? Now.
That's crazy. Also in the solicitations, they had the Uncanny X-Men solicitations. And a lot of it shows there's a rock slide is in a lot of these covers.
He's a character that works.
Rock slide. I like him. But there is also a cover of White Psylocke.
Okay. Stabbing we don't have to call her that. We can just call her Psylocke.
White privileged Psylocke is. But I just find it weird that she's like, now with my psychic knife. And I'm like, White Psylocke did not have a psychic knife.
No, she's not white. She's just Psylocke. It's still the same person.
But Caucasian Psylocke.
Same brain.
Politically correct Psylocke now.
May I see your manager, Psylocke?
Is using her psychic knife, about to stab and complete battle with a weird mohawked, hippied out angel. And then in the background is like an old picture of Asian Psylocke, which is why I was saying White Psylocke, because she didn't let me finish. And blue angel, like, kissing.
All right, you don't have to say blue angel. No, I'm just kidding. Who knows where this uncanny X-Men is going to go? So far, we've got them fighting Madrosses. We've got the Madrox parody cover of the lineup on X-Men number one. We've got speculation as to whether or not the lineup on the X-Men number one cover by artist Lyneal Francis Yu is even the lineup that's going to be inevitably featured in this book. Will this book even have a lineup? Of course it will. It's comics. But still, so much out there.
So much is going on. And we're here to cover it. And I ask
that's
you,
if right. You are, we're here to give you the
if
scoop.
If you are listening, I want someone out there, write us something that you hate about us. It's just so we can talk about it. I know that sounds desperate and pathetic, but we're gay. We're used to it.
Yeah.
Do you want to have like your words read out loud on a podcast? We will do it. Someone write us something. Write us a poem. Write us a limerick, and we will read it out loud.
Do you want us to deliver your letter with real emotion? Then write something horrible about us so that we freak the fuck out.
Yeah. Take our insecurities and destroy them.
Make us lose our composure.
Yeah.
Anyway. If you read comics, you know what? That makes you a queer.
AF.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.